back and I just
welcome
the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
The hot seat.
The system broken, the schools closed, the prisons open. We ain't got nothing to lose, everybody we rolling. Everybody we rolling. With some light skinned girls and some Kelly Rollers. And this white man world, we the ones chosen. So good night, cool world, I see you
Micah,
in the morning.
Car, Cole. I see you in the morning. How's it going? Micah, Car, Cole. Hey, what, 3 hours? When's the last time you've seen a three-hour softball game? And the man, the guy next to behind us, Neil, was like, hey, he goes, I never thought I'd hear those words, is what he said. As I didn't turn your mic on there, I apologize, Micah. It's all good. This is Late Night here with the Hot Seat on UTRadio.com. My name, Micah Cole. Next to him, from the ever elusive show, most loved show on UTARadio.com. So he believes.
You're darn right.
Is Mr. I don't even know if you're a Mr. Joe Scanlon's in the house here.
Whoa. Them's fighting words, Creighton.
Wearing his three-piece suit tonight.
Really,
as he is running for some office of power here.
I'm running to be your next Texas legislative senator, Creighton. I hope I get your vote here in November.
Micah, would you vote for Ted Cruz or Joe Scanlon for senator?
Seeing as he's my sports director, probably Joe Scanlon.
That's right. I buy the votes, baby.
You buy the votes?
I buy the votes, yep.
Well, that tells you what kind of man Joe Scanlon is.
Look, if you're in politics, you're probably not a good person to begin with. So, I mean,
what are you trying to say, man?
Just trying to say, there's a lot of people with a bad track record in Congress and otherwheres. Oh. Wow. So. Yeah, but I mean, did I come on here and talk politics? Let's talk sports, Creighton.
Yeah.
Let's get into, hey, should college players be paid?
You
Creighton?
Don't. You, wait. You don't want to talk politics for 2 hours?
No, dude. This is. I thought this was the hot seat.
This is the hot seat, Creighton.
It is. You're absolutely right. So getting right into it here, we are going to change it up, as this is the late night show this time, as deemed the special. We are going to start instead of going with our what's what. And UTA basketball. We're going to start on the other side of basketball. Big story in the game of college basketball. Zion Williamson, the freshman phenom from Duke. There's been a lot of talks, Micah and Joe, over the past week or so since Zion hurt himself, slipped out of his. I'm gonna have to name drop it. I'm sorry, Paul George. His Paul George Nike shoe. Okay. And
coincidence?
You got the Paul George experience, Creighton.
Oh, that's for sure. Wait, what coincidence are you talking about?
The injury with Paul George.
Oh, that was much worse, man. Well, anyways.
Yeah, that was much worse.
Slips out of the shoe, sprains his, thank God, just a sprain in the right knee, and he will be back. Then this is where the debate is right here, is a lot of people are saying, hey, shut it down. You've already proven what you need to prove in however many games he's played now. Can't count what the regular season is. But anyways, you've already proven that much. You're obviously going to be at least number one, if not number two pick. Just shut it down. But to me, this kid, it's different with this kid because he's always – he is a different breed of athlete because he wants to play in college. He absolutely wants to play in college, and he's playing with his best friends. A lot of people don't get that, okay? R.J. Barrett and Cameron Reddish and him have been together basically throughout their entire life, more than most people in his life that he's played basketball with. From AAU up to All-American games, everywhere they've been together. So these guys are tight, and that's why they want to play together. So a lot of people are saying, hey, shut it down, but I think that's the bad thing. But my question is, first, we're going to get into two topics here. One, can Duke survive without Zion? And then I'm going to get all y'all's takes. Me and Joe talked about this earlier in the week on what the injury to Zion means for college athletes all around. So, Micah, I want to hear your take first on can Duke really survive, not just for the rest of the regular season, but through the tournament without Zion? Because you've seen they've lost a couple without Zion.
I mean, yeah, it'll take a little bit of time because, I mean, you're used to a system with him. I think they could, but it would be really tough. Can they win the NCAA tournament without him? I think that's a tall order, but they really need him to do that. But I think you can still get to the Sweet 16 at least with what you got, because you still got two of the top five players going in the NBA draft. Man, or top four.
Just a Sweet 16 with Cameron Reddish and R.J. Barrett?
I said at least.
At least.
At least Sweet 16. I don't see it getting any lower than that.
Okay.
Like, that's a worst-case scenario. That's, okay, like, floor, rock bottom for me with those without Zion.
Yeah.
They're too good, man. It's just too good.
They didn't. And Virginia Tech the other night?
That's a valid point.
They lost.
There's a difference. There's a difference, though, between the NCAA tournament. Coach K knows how to coach when it comes down to it.
K. Joe?
I mean, yeah, Coach K is a legendary coach. He's been coaching since the 90s. I mean, come on. I've actually probably the 80s, too, if we're being honest. He's old. But still, Zion.
That's a shot.
Hey. Yeah, he's a legendary coach, though. I mean, Coach K is still coaching the team. You still have Barrett. You still have Reddish. There's no reason you should be losing games right now. Zion is not your whole damn team.
Guys, they're 18-year-olds, man. What are you talking? You give them some like slack here.
Well, yeah, they're 18-year-olds.
But look at the level that Duke players are held to, man. Like, they are held to it. You might want to turn my mic down. I'm hot.
No, you're good.
Okay, all right.
That mic is not very. We've had issues.
Okay. Well, thank you, Creighton. I appreciate you working board, right?
Joe's trying to tell me how to do my job here on UTRadio.com. Continue with your...
Well, I'm your boss, Creighton, but I mean, I digress. White guy was saying, yeah, they're 18 years old, but the level of play that Duke players are held to with their legacy and the tradition of Duke basketball, yeah, they're held to a higher standard, and right now they're not performing to it. And it doesn't matter if Zion's not there. They still need to play up to that standard.
How far do you think they can get without him? Like, legitimately, from what you've seen.
Legitimately, Sweet 16, maybe.
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, I'll tell you what. Am I worried that Zion's out and that this team is going to have a tough time? I am. But I think that when these kids want to play and when they play to their full potential, easily a Final Four team. I mean, think about it. They still have, without Zion, now granted, Zion's a big chunk. As I get, he's not the whole team, but he's a big,
well, right.
He's a big part chunk of the,
yeah,
team.
He's a big part.
And, you still have R.J. Barrett, who is actually the number one recruit in front of Zion, and then Cameron Rush is number three, who I think Cameron Rush is going to be a baller in the NBA. And you still have those two players.
All
so
three
I,
of them could
I still
be.
Think, well, I know, but Zion, let's just say that Zion, yeah, it could, you know, shut it down. I don't. He won't, but let's just hypothetically.
I think that's all ridiculous talk.
Yeah, and so I think that with those guys, they still have a chance to be Final Four contenders easy. And no, I honestly believe that these, you know, they're still 18-year-olds. You got to remember that, everyone. These kids were in high school less than 8 months ago, okay, everyone? I think that's a fair assessment to say they're due for some losses. And you saw it last night against Virginia Tech. They're due for losses. It's going to happen. And
part of the game.
And it's not like Virginia Tech's a bad team. Virginia Tech's a great team. Okay, Syracuse was a great team that gave them fits too. They ended up winning that game. I'm just saying.
Louisville
was a great team that gave them fits, and they ended up winning that game.
And North Carolina.
Now the North Carolina game was just a really. That's one of those games where it's just bad all around for a team.
That happens.
It's just not your night. But my next question to y'all is, what does the Zion injury mean in the terms of college sports in general? Because this kid. It just gets me so frustrated. This kid is basically the moneymaker for the NCAA, okay? He's the moneymaker for the NCAA. They profit off of him. Syracuse sold 36,000 tickets the other night, and he wasn't even playing. They sold that thinking he was going to play, so clearly he's a commodity.
Time out. You can fit 36,000 people into Syracuse's arena?
They play in the Carrier Dome, my man. They play in the football stadium.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah, they usually close off half of it, but they open it all up when games like that. So think about it. They're playing in a football arena sold out for Zion, who's not even getting a cent of this money, and he gets hurt. So what does that say to you? What do you think about that?
Well, before we get into that, I think the whole him shutting it down is bogus.
Thank you.
I don't think he should shut it down. He obviously enjoys playing at Duke, and if you enjoy it, why wouldn't you keep playing? Why don't people get that? I don't get that.
It's true.
But going into the main point now, for the money terms, I can see your point coming more to fruition than I did before. I think maybe paying the players may be a more logical thing than it looked to me at least a couple months ago. So I think it's the right move because, I mean, look at that Duke-UNC game. How much was the average ticket? Like $1,500, $1,500?
$2,600.
$2,600? Okay, sorry. It was $1,000 off. Sorry, Creighton.
No, but that's not a shot at you. I'm mad at the whole system.
Well, Creighton, what
and I'll get to this man in a second on the left here, but let me hear what you have to say left.
But I think it's the right thing to pay him. I think it needs to happen now. Like, the fact that it's $2,600 a ticket for a Duke and UNC game, one of the greatest rivalry games in the sport. How are those players not getting paid a cent of that? Well, $2,600 a ticket. And how many seats are there at Duke?
9,000 something.
Yeah, there's barely any.
Hey, Micah, do you know why they're not getting paid, Micah?
Well, I turned one, so
Do you know why they're not getting paid, Micah? Because they get free rides to a prestigious university and education that they can use after they quit playing basketball or they get hurt, unfortunately. They have a lot of opportunities regular students don't have.
In what way did they have other opportunities that a full ride other student doesn't have? Tell me.
Well,
what other full ride opportunities do they have that other students don't have?
Well, most students don't get a full ride, Creighton.
But some do.
Some do.
That's what I'm
okay,
saying.
Well, I'm not comparing the full ride students who get a full ride to athletes who get a full ride. I'm comparing the average Joe, the Creighton branch of UTA. Are you getting a full ride here, Creighton?
Are you comparing me to a 285 Zion Williamson? Because I am here to say that I don't deserve a full ride like Zion does, okay?
But what if you had great academics, man, and you got a full ride?
Then I have a full ride.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so why are we paying the athletes when they're already getting stuff from the school that regular students wouldn't get?
Because he works harder than I do to provide a product
that is
basically keeping me at the school, because without him, the school can't even function because they make all their money off the players.
I think Duke would have been okay if they didn't have Zion to make money for him. I really do. I think the amount of gear and stuff they can sell to students without profiting off Zion.
Why do the students buy the gear? It's not because they suck. It's because they're good. Yeah. Why
okay,
are they
good?
Good?
They were good.
Why
without good? Zion. They were good.
Fine. Throw me any player in Duke's
Christian
history.
Christian Laettner.
He should have got paid. He was a great player for them.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. He was he not?
Yeah, he was. I mean, there's a reason I hate Christian Laettner
okay,
shirts.
Okay, fine. Then what we need to do is we need to take all the pro athletes, and we don't need to give them a percentage of the revenue that comes in from those teams, from the fans buying the tickets, and see how they like it, because I guarantee you they're not going to like it.
Do pro athletes get a percentage of gear sold about them?
Yeah, because they're using their name.
Okay, well then, yeah, let's stop doing that. They're already getting $300 million contracts. I mean, do they really need percentage from jerseys?
You're just upset. That's what
no,
you are.
I'm not upset. You're just mad
you're not making the money they're making. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Are you not mad that you're not making the money?
I can't help the fact, Joe, that I'm not 6'5", 285 of pure muscle that can jump 50 inches in the air.
Yeah, that is impressive.
I would pay for that.
You would pay them to see them play. You would pay them to see them play.
I would pay. Listen, Zion Williamson has definitely brought revenue to the Duke University that they did not have a year ago. Am I right?
You're right.
Then why should we not pay him for his, I guess you, for lack of a better word, for his tenure, you know? I mean, yeah. And he gets hurt, okay?
Yeah, and he gets hurt.
He gets hurt, okay?
So now you're paying a player that's hurt. I mean, come on.
No, because the NBA will eventually fix this, but I have to tackle now. The NBA does not allow players to come out of high school, so they have to go on this crazy, weird thing.
Well, yeah, they're going to fix that.
They are going to fix that.
That's what I said.
Adam Silver just proposed to get 18-year-olds.
And they will because he's a big proponent of that because of reasons like this. But right now, they have to go through this bogus system where they got to go from 1 year in college. That's why Ben Simmons hated LSU with all his guts. He just chose it because he wanted to go there. He had to, right? I mean, not wanted to go there. He had to go there. And these kids, what?
He didn't have to go.
Well, he had to go to college, and that was the best option he had. What?
He could have. I mean, I guess he could have gone somewhere else, but
could have gone to Texas.
Could have gone to Texas. But anyways, what I'm saying is, oh geez. And, all right, we're dropping that on here now. All right. Well, hold on. Why'd you just say that? Anyways, so he gets hurt.
He's flustered.
He gets hurt, and he's not getting paid. So as I mentioned on Joe's show, he's probably usually a player like him is going to sign a $10 million insurance policy. We're saying if you get hurt and you ruin your career, you get $10 million. Okay, homeboy is going to get $100 million out of college with a shoe deal. That's already said that's going to happen when Nike's going to sign him.
Crazy.
That's $90 million he lost because he had to go play some college ball for the average Joe. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Well, this average Joe would rather not pay players when they're getting a bunch of benefits I don't get, and you don't get, and Micah doesn't get.
You cannot base off a jealousy factor, though.
I'm not basing it off a jealousy factor. I'm not basing it off of that at all. In today's society, what person is going to say, oh, well, we'll pay the athletes, but everyone else, you know, screw you? Come on.
That's the harsh reality I keep telling you. It's got to be that way.
Well, look at our society now, Creighton. Everyone's got to get the fair shake, man.
You are in broadcasting. You know that your bottom-level job is not going to pay as much as the news director in market number three. Am I right?
Well, yeah, that's right. You got to work your way up.
So unfair pay is what I'm saying. Well, you're not going to be equal. So life is life, and you got to tell the kids playing badminton at the Duke Rec Center, hey, you're not going to get paid because you're playing an intramural sport, but Zion Williamson is contributing millions of dollars to our revenue, so we've got to pay the kid for his services.
Okay, well,
this program would not be anything without Williamson or any of the players in the past.
Well, back to my statement, what I said, you got to work your way up to news director at the number three market.
You
got to work your way up through college.
Are you suggesting that the badminton players are going to find their way on the Duke basketball team?
No, what I'm saying is these players that play college basketball, college football, are working their way up to get paid in the NFL.
We don't get paid
in the NBA.
But the thing is they're putting their bodies on the line so they could easily end their career.
I could slip on a piece of ice and break my ankle. I'm putting my body on the line.
I've heard it all. I have absolutely heard it all. I mean, you're covering stories. You're not moving your whole body.
Hey, weird stuff happens out there in the field,
dude,
man.
Yeah, dude, putting my butt on the line every time I leave my house.
Weird stuff happens.
If that's the argument,
I have nothing. Hey, weird stuff happens out there, man.
I win. I finally win.
But here's the thing.
Stuff happens out there.
I think it's a base-by-base case or case-by-case basis.
Base-by-base case. Love it.
That was a nice one.
Love it.
Because UTA, I do not think UTA athletes should not get paid.
Really?
Or should get paid. I don't think they should get paid.
No.
Because they don't generate revenue, really.
No, they don't. You're right.
No, they don't. So that's one of those situations where you can say,
football team.
And I know that I go to UTA and I support UTA, but it's the harsh truth that they don't. They're trying. I'll give them credit. They're trying, right? But they don't generate the revenue, and so I don't think those players should get paid.
The sad part for UTA is they built winning programs, and yet they get nobody there. That's the sucky part.
What? Yeah, I know they shouldn't get paid.
The fact that they can't bring in people when they're winning, especially the last 3 years particularly, the fact that they can't bring in anybody kind of sucks because they were actually at winning programs. They get that place is full. Maybe you win more games.
Well, it's not.
Well, no, it's not.
They made the games free for kids, and they still don't come out.
I'm just saying. I mean,
you
like
had two NBA players last year, nobody showed up.
But it's hard for me to say, to sit there, and come on, guys, to sit there and watch this phenom, probably the likes of we've never seen since LeBron James. Even then, LeBron James wasn't even this like physically gifted. Now he was more skilled than Zion, I would say at this point. But physically, no way doesn't touch Zion at this point. And to watch this kid, I get it. He only sprained his knee, but that could have been an ACL tear, or it could have been an Achilles tear because his shoe slipped, and that's it. Then he's never going to be the same Zion again. He's definitely not going to have the same vertical. So we're watching this kid one step away, literally, from a career that's not the same. However, we're not paying him a bit to do any of that. He's going out there just performing on his own dime. Are you going to go out there and cover stories for free? In the real world, you do it now. I knew what you're about to say. Yeah.
I was so close.
Yeah, I knew what you're about to
ready.
Say.
Oh, I was ready to do it. No, you're right, Creighton. I wouldn't do it for free.
Thank you. Thank you. That was just pay the players. That's all I'm asking.
All right, Creighton. Well, you go tell the NCAA that.
I might have to. You know what? I'm the Tom Brady protector. I'm the Kevin Durant protector. I'm now the Bradley Cooper protector from the Oscars. And I guess I'm going to have to be the NCAA Players Association protector, too. They don't even have that. I'm just going to have to do that so that way they can start getting paid. Maybe I'll have to take on the NCAA. You ever seen Ballers? Anybody ever watch Ballers?
Sometimes.
Okay. In this last season, he takes on the NCAA for this particular reason. So I guess you can call me Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Okay? That's what I am.
Sure look like him.
Call me Spencer Strassmore.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
That is all the time we have for this first segment here on the late night edition of The Hot Seat. I would like to thank Joe for coming in to the show.
Are you kicking me out?
Oh, I thought you had to leave.
I mean, I was going to do maybe one more segment.
Oh, you kept telling me, I'm going to leave.
Well, I'm sick of arguing this. I want to do another segment with you, Creighton.
All right.
One that we haven't done before.
So Joe's going to stay on here, and man, you got to hand it to you, the first one. Hopefully you can come back and recover from that.
I thought it was a pretty fair fight.
You are listening to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com, iHeartRadio, Radio FX, and Facebook Live. I'm Micah Cole, alongside the great Birdman, Creighton Brandt, and from the Sports File, Joe Scanlon. Thank you for joining us tonight, Joe. Appreciate the time.
High five him?
Nope, I did a basketball thing, but yeah.
You don't get paid for that.
I know I don't get paid for that.
Just saying.
Hey, that's a great song. Post Malone does that song, right?
Oh, my God.
Post Malone does that song, right?
No, since you brought that, I'm going to tell this story then. So we're in this bake sale, okay? I'll play the song while we all listen to it.
Dude,
so we're at this bake sale, and, you know, it's for our club, Broadcast Education Association, and we're playing music, and Tyree's one of the guys in the member of the club. We were like, play some R&B and stuff like that and rap, because it's kind of like this Valentine's feel. And
we should have got Love on Valentine's.
It's okay. And Joe thinks he's all cool. He's like, oh, I didn't know they. I was like, about time you played Post Malone. I was like, this is Juice WRLD. It's Juice WRLD, Joe. And everyone was like, this is Juice WRLD, Joe.
It sounds like Post Malone.
So then Joe tried to play it off and it didn't work out. So that's the end of that story. But another story that hasn't ended and probably won't end for a while is the suspension by the Cowboys defense. The defensive player. I could just say the whole defense, but, you know, I mean.
The whole defense.
Yeah, no. So Randy Gregory, once again, has been suspended by the NFL, and this time it's indefinite.
And you know what's funny about this? The Cowboys are in full defense of him still.
Well, don't you have to be?
I mean,
he's a good player.
Okay, I mean, what strike is this? Like strike five?
It's like strike 100, man. Yeah, it's like five. Yeah,
I don't. I just. It's time for him to go.
I just don't get how you could get paid all this money. You're playing in the NFL, and literally all you have to do is stay out of trouble. All you have to do is stay out of trouble, and you're rich beyond your wildest dreams. You're doing something you love, but no, somebody's got to hit the toke a little too hard. And now he's suspended again.
That's so bad.
Yeah, this man. Okay. Interesting.
Hey, I kept it good for the radio. Hey.
Yeah. So where does this put the Cowboys, guys? Like where should they go from here? Do you cut them? I mean, I know they're backing them up, but if you were the Cowboys,
you have to cut them.
Cut them.
There's no way. The fact they haven't done it already.
It really is a shame because he's a great player. It's a crying shame. But you got to cut him, man. All of this negativity and, I mean, come on, man. Like, you can't keep doing this because how do they know when he's going to come back? It leaves the team in uncertainty. They don't know who they're going to put at defensive end. Yeah, you still got Tank Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. At least you got one side. But now you got up in the air for defensive end. I mean, if you cut him, now you can look at a defensive end coming into this draft, maybe get a good one. Not in the first round because you traded all of those for Amari Cooper.
That's fair, though, because
Amari,
thank you.
It was a good trade. I know. It was a good trade. But now you can look second round, maybe get a defensive end, you know, bring him up. You got a great linebacker in Leighton Vander Esch, so, I mean, you don't need any more linebackers. And the secondary seems fine right now. I mean, the only thing I could think of is a quarterback to challenge Dak Prescott because he's gotten way too comfortable, or go after a defensive end and cut Randy Gregory because too many chances, not enough positivity out of it. I say cut him.
And you're not going to really like me because I think you should keep him.
Creighton, why? Why?
Because he's that good of a player. But I mean, you've got to find out.
But how, when is he going to play?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that this is
you're literally wasting a roster spot.
Shut up. This is what this is. This is partially Randy Gregory's fault.
He's getting suspended.
And partially now, okay, I'll give you this. Randy Gregory is a dumb, you know, a dumb butt for doing this because, as Joe said, yes, he's getting paid millions of dollars, and
we're safe harbor. And come on,
anyways, it's a shame that someone gets paid so much, and finds a way to basically jeopardize their millions of dollars, and that's when I start to get all, you know, upset. I'm like, why would you do that? But how? But however, does this happen on the Patriots? Does stuff like this happen on the Patriots? No. So I think this is partially the Cowboys' fault. And this is partially the, you know, front office, not to mention the man down there that has no spine, and Jason Garrett.
And Jerry Jones.
And
you mean
Coach
Jason Garrett?
Clapper of the year?
He is Clapper of the year, absolutely. Yeah.
Fun fact, did y'all see that Zion cam on the game the other night? Was it yesterday? Was the day before the Zion cam? They literally just showed a split screen with Zion sitting there clapping.
And you think he shouldn't get paid? Anyways,
get paid to clap.
My thing with here's the thing: the Cowboys are in a rough position because Randy Gregory is obviously one of your best players. Not to mention David Irving as well is looming suspension as well. So the Cowboys are in a world of hurt here. And honestly, I could say it's just as much as their fault for not controlling their players as it is Randy Gregory's fault. What do you think about that? I just want your thoughts.
That's fair. I mean, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see it too. But still, I'd rather have a player I know is going to play every week than someone who one moment is suspended, the next moment not. You could get a player just as good as Randy Gregory in this draft who's not going to get in trouble.
Is this a Jason Garrett issue?
I don't think
maybe it is a Jason Garrett issue, but you know what? Jerry Jones loves his yes men. He wants guys who are going to say yes and not anything else against him. That's why he got rid of Wade Phillips. He was kind of a yes man. That's why he got rid of Bill Parcells. That's why he got rid of Tom Landry. That's why he got rid of Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Jimmy G.
Who?
How do you fire a head coach after a Super Bowl?
He did. He definitely
did.
Are
you kidding me? Why? Like, other than the fact that Jimmy wanted to take the team in a direction, Jerry didn't want to, and because I'm Jerry Jones and I got a lot of money, I'm going to say, see you later, Jimmy.
What?
That was my Jerry Jones impersonation.
That was mean.
Come on. I'm Jerry Jones.
What happened after that season he fired Johnson?
Well, they still had the whole team from the year before, all they needed was a competent head coach and Barry Switzer, and they won a Super Bowl.
There you go. I just wanted to hear what you had to say. So clearly,
am I wrong?
And they had some great talent on that team, man.
The big three, man. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the big three.
The trio. The original big three.
Outside of this past year, that was back in that day or that year. That was their best defense.
But I got to tell you, man, these two suspensions, this does really push my nerves because in what world do the Cowboys have to have any type of suspension on their team and to be all, you know, la-di-da-da-da-da-da? Because these guys don't win enough when they're on the field. And so no discipline after no discipline after no discipline for this team. And I don't know who's got to go. But a lot of people have got to go.
Well, hey, look, I mean, they fired Linehan and they hired freaking the QB coach.
Well,
the dude from freaking Boise State.
Kellen
Moore.
No, you Aggies like to think that Kellen Mond is the savior of everything, but newsflash, he's not. So get over it.
I still remember when Micah Moore. took Kellen a picture Moore. With Kellen Mond at the A&M Arkansas game.
Kellen.
This man's out here working for media, and he's like, hey, Kellen, can I take a pic?
Hey, I got that pic for him, man.
Yeah, he did.
After they almost lost to like a one-and-forever Arkansas team.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy.
And now Uncle Rico's a better quarterback than Kellen Mond. Anyways.
Oh, my gosh.
Kellen, he is. I mean, he is.
I don't know about that.
He throw a football over the mountains, and Kellen Moore.
He's right. He's got a point there.
What do you think about Kellen Moore, then? I mean, like,
far.
What? So, like, I don't know. Who's got to go, but, I mean, like,
everything.
Jerry Jones
needs to go. Is
Jerry Jones the problem? Do you think the team gets better without Jerry Jones? Because there is no discipline for this team so far. And what's the reason the Patriots have been so good? It's because they cut players when they fall out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Gordon is obviously an unbelievable talent, and he couldn't even make it with those guys. They finally, and it was also kind of pushed because he checked himself back in, but he was having a hard time with them. On our team, I think he would stay because they just pushed, they kicked the line around, and it's just mediocre business, man. And I don't know who's got to go, but someone's got to go.
Jason Garrett.
Honestly, Jerry Jones needs to fire himself as GM and get himself a dang general manager.
Who would that be?
Any competent general manager? Plenty of guys out there who could do a better job than Jerry Jones. Heck, give it to his son, man.
I like Steven.
But at the same time, how much would Steven listen to his dad? I think the Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl until Jerry dies.
But a couple of times he was able to sway Jerry Jones in a different direction.
Holy cow.
Well,
multiple times.
First of all.
He prevented him from taking Johnny Gonzalez in the first
round. Look at this. You know what? When Jerry dies and Steven gets control of the team, he's either A, going to get a competent general manager, or B, I like him as a general manager. So honestly, like I said, Cowboys
it'd be the same thing, though.
But here's the thing. Like you said, Steven has persuaded Jerry not to do something stupid.
Yeah.
I think Jerry has just done too many stupid things over the years. And that's why the Cowboys are the way they are. Now, granted, we had a great year with Dak and Zeke a couple years ago. Last year.
That was a good draft.
And then this past year was... Dak's not the quarterback. And until Jerry sees that, nothing's going to get better. Now, maybe we get a better quarterback coach than Kellen freaking Moore. But he's still the freaking offensive coordinator, man.
I threw the idea around that they go and sell out for Coach Bro over in Arizona, Kingsbury.
Oh my.
I mean, I throw that around.
Kingsbury's never going to take an offensive coordinator job now or a quarterback coach job now after getting a head coaching job in the NFL.
Only in America can you fall that far forward.
Unless he fails horribly in Arizona, he will not take a job lower than that ever again. He'll go back to college and head coach.
All right. I see. Any last points, Micah? I'm going to have Joe's going to want to stick around for this next one.
Okay.
Because there's been some rumblings about now who is going to go as the first quarterback in the NFL draft. Is it going to be Dwayne Haskins or is it going to be Kyler Murray?
How dare you say that name?
Both experts on all sides of the ball, are having debate over the past couple of days now. No one really knows anymore. We will talk about that here.
You're going to want to stay here.
Joe loves Kyler Murray.
This is the hot seat.
This is the hot seat here on UTRadio.com. Y'all stay tuned. Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTRadio.com, iHeartRadio, Radio FX, and as always, streaming live on Facebook Live. Check out Micah Cole for that stream. You thought we were not going to air tonight. Never. We never miss a week. We are the hot seat. This is Late Night with the Hot Seat here. My name is Creighton Branch. The man next to me on the left, Micah Cole. And unfortunately, the man farther left on his side is Mr. Jones.
Turn my mic on, Creighton.
Mr. Jones. I was introducing you, Joe. It's Mr. Joe Scalin.
Unfortunately.
Who's also impatient. Cannot wait for me to turn his mic on to give him the floor. Man.
Wow.
He's now 0 for 2.
I'm not 0 for 2. Are you kidding me? You were agreeing with... Oh, my goodness. I'm never going to win, am I?
Probably not.
I'm never going
to
win.
No, probably not.
Golly.
This is a little teaser of what will be a super show. The Hot Seat versus the Sports File. Sometime this semester. We'll figure it out.
Definitely not in a couple weeks. We're going to be in New Orleans, Creighton.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm stoked for that. We have the hotel. We have the credentials applied
Somehow we found all that.
I'm really hoping that they come back and tell me everything's good. We'll have to see.
Hopefully you
or
can
I'm going to cry.
Running.
I might cry.
So for the same game that me and Micah did, the A&M one that with Kellen Mond's picture, we get up there 2 days before. And they didn't have the credentials, so Lance had which is Lance Leguez is our radio head here at UTRadio.com. And anyways, we had to text Lance, and he had to fill out a form like super quick to get our credentials. So I just keep replaying that situation in my mind when we get to New Orleans.
Oh, Jesus.
And we get to the Lakefront Arena, and we're like, hey, we're here for our credentials, and they're like, what?
We
didn't get no call from utradio.com. What are you talking about?
Look, I will email that guy multiple times if I have to. If I don't get them by next week, I'm going to email him again. I'll keep emailing him every day. We are going to New Orleans, boys. We're going to have a great time.
Yes, sir.
It was a long, it's what, like, just like a movie and the speeches in the movies. It was a long, hard fought battle, but we're here and we got what we
need. Now we just need UTA to go ahead and win some basketball.
Hey, Micah, real quick before we get into the segment, what's the update on the Texas Baylor game? Because you said they were up
last
three.
Last I checked, they were up three with 2 minutes to go. Hold on, just give me a second to re upload that because I had just exited out.
Of course. Why'd you do that? I literally told you
I want an update every. Is that what I sound like? Wow. Someone's getting fired tonight, Creighton.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So,
81-78 Texas with 51 seconds left.
Man, very nice. That's a close game.
That is very close.
If they
keep
lose
us
that
posted.
One, they're pretty much out.
Please keep us
they're
posted.
They're not out, Creighton.
They're definitely out.
Do you
13
know how
losses.
Many quadrant one team
I get that,
your
but,
team has?
Okay, fine. But if you have 20 quadrant one wins and 60 losses, you're definitely not getting into
the tournament. If you're 20
you're
and 60, Creighton,
games.
I mean, that's an interesting basketball season, if I gotta say something.
If you have that many games.
Just the NFL. Oh, 81-80 now. Oh.
34 seconds.
All right, we'll keep it updated.
Whatever.
Here.
Cutting into this segment here, Joe's favorite quarterback to ever hit the turf, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is making noise yet again. With Dwayne Haskins, because now experts are saying they're not quite sure if Dwayne Haskins is going to go number one. There has been some talks around the league, and no one's quite for sure anymore. So my question, I'm going to throw it right to Joe, to be honest with you, is who should be taken first? Because they're both going in the NFL draft, okay? That's over. And he's taking off his jacket right now, ready to rip into this Kyler Murray, who is honestly going to get paid more than him in about 6 months, so he can just sit out and be humble. Who should go first, Joe? Kyler Murray? Or Dwayne Haskins, as we wait here.
Let me roll up my sleeves.
He's rolled up his sleeves. That's okay. I don't know why Mike is taking his jacket off, too. Interesting. Anyways.
Because it's hot in here.
Kyler Murray
it's a hot
has
seat, remember?
No business being a first-round pick in the NFL draft. The man is 5'9", 180-something. Yeah, he's putting some weight on. He's going through a special regimen training.
On.
Yeah,
he's
apparently,
skinny though.
Apparently he's putting weight on and he's going through a special regimented training session. And apparently that includes getting a growth spurt to make him 6 foot because they said Drew Brees was too small. And look where Drew Brees is. And that's 6 foot. Russell Wilson is an outlier. He is an outlier. Kyler Murray does not deserve to be in the first round at all whatsoever. Second round pick, sure, go ahead. So his arm is great. I will give him that. He has a good arm, and he can move. He's fast. But when you have big old Sam – no, not Sam Darnold. I'm thinking Ndamukong Suh, you have the other –
That was so far off from Sam Darnold. I'm not quite sure you mixed those two
Donald,
names up.
I'm thinking Donald.
Okay, I see.
The Rams.
That's also Aaron
Rams.
Donald.
Aaron
I'm not
Donald.
Quite sure how you got that one mixed up either. Continue. Strike number two.
Stop.
Strike two.
You have Aaron Donald. You have Ndamukong Suh. You got Leighton Vander Esch, who outweighs Kyler by about 70 pounds, running full speed, 4.47, whatever he ran at the 40, right into you. I'm sorry. There's no way he eludes all those tacklers. Or if he eludes one, there's going to be another guy flying in behind him. He's going to get hurt. He got hurt in the freaking Alabama game because an NFL-sized lineman fell on him.
Quinton Williams is a pretty big player, though.
Well, he's an NFL-sized lineman. That's the average NFL-sized lineman right there, dude.
So I take it from that assessment that you think Dwayne Haskins should go before him.
Well, he'd go before him. Yeah, I don't think either one. I think Joey Bosa, or is it Nick Bosa?
I get them confused.
Nick Bosa should go first round.
But
I mean,
quarterbacks-wise, who should go first?
But quarterbacks-wise, Dwayne Haskins should go first.
All right, Ka, what's your take on this?
You really want to know?
No.
Kyler Murray made a big mistake not going to the MLB. You had $20 million on the line.
That's great. Who should go first?
Haskins.
What?
Haskins.
Haskins?
Yeah.
But why?
Kyler, as he said, Kyler Murray is just too small. How are you going to make it in this league? Outside of Russell Wilson, not to say that he couldn't potentially play like that, but how many people are like Russell Wilson? Not many.
No,
Russell
you're right.
Wilson is one of the greatest quarterbacks in this game right now.
If he gains weight, can he be like Russell Wilson?
Potentially.
Oh, yeah?
I think he has the talent to do so, but, man, you gave up a really good opportunity for baseball. I think he's going to come back and regret
that. I really
think he's going to regret that.
So, okay. So, it's been about 3 to 4 weeks, okay, since really he's made that decision. And I took it upon myself to watch some tape and just watch some highlights this year of Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray because obviously those are the two quarterbacks that are going to be picked 1-2, 2-1 whichever one you want to pick. You know they're going to go.
Do you think? Do you think either go first overall?
Hold on. Okay. So I was watching tape and man, you're gonna hate me, but. I gotta tell you.
No, I'm about to take your Longhorn card away from you.
What?
I'm about to take your Longhorn card away from you, Creighton Branch. If you say what I think you're about to say.
He just does things that I've never seen before.
You know what else he doesn't have? He doesn't have a head for the NFL. Did you see him at the Big 12 championship game? We were there, Creighton.
Now,
we had pretty
good
seats.
That's
for free.
Absolutely. And I admire your trivia skills to the T. I got to give you that. Joe won tickets on this trivia game.
Leonard Fournette, baby.
Surprisingly.
There's your win, Joe.
A lot of things I think that Joe does is I guess you could say, you know, fake. I thought they were fake, but they weren't fake. They were real. And he won them off a trivia game. So thank you, Joe, for that. But I have to say, man. The kid's got skill, man. I think that okay, with the position of how the teams are picked, I think Kyler Murray should go before Dwayne Haskins. I love Dwayne. I think Dwayne overall might end up being a better prospect than Kyler Murray. But here's my second point to that.
Okay.
Where there is smoke, and I told you this, Micah, where there is smoke, there is fire. There is only there has got to be a reason why Kyler Murray dropped from $20 million and chose to go to the NFL. And I truly believe that's because he's got insider knowledge that the Arizona Cardinals are going to get rid of Josh Rosen and take the kid number one.
Dude, I swear to God, that is the worst decision they could ever make in their life. He does not have the head to play in the NFL. Did you see him on the Dan Patrick Show answering questions? Simple questions. Yeah. You want that to be the figurehead of your team, Creighton Branch? You want that to be your leader? You want to have your leader be standing there? I'm sorry, if you can see me on the live stream.
We can all see you on the live stream.
All right, guys, we're gonna run this play.
This camera, Joe.
We're gonna run this play. I'm in the huddle right now, and I'm standing on my feet technically. Run this play, okay? Here we go. All right, break. Oh, guys, can you bend down? I can't see over you guys on the line. Oh, my God. You want that to be your quarterback, Creighton?
But he's got a better arm than some of those players in the league already.
I don't care if he got a better arm, man. He got to get out of the pocket in order to throw the ball. He's got to scramble.
You think he can't get out of the pocket? That's the fastest player I've ever seen in college football.
But here's the thing. Teams are going to recognize it, and they'll create a defense to stop it. They always will. The NFL is not like college. These coaches are smart.
They
will find a way to stop him eventually. They found a way to stop Dak. They found a way to stop Cam.
Okay, Dak is a lot slower than Kyler Murray.
Cam Newton. Okay, they found a way to stop...
Cam Newton has just got hurt, man.
Michael Vick. They stopped Michael Vick.
Michael Vick had some off-the-field issues that really sidelined his ability to play for... Okay, that's a really – because Michael Vick got arrested. That's why he didn't end up on an NFL team after a while. When he came back, no one really wanted him.
Russell Wilson, I had him on my fantasy team. He has not been performing very well the last few years. You know why? Because they caught on to him.
He's got a crappy team around him.
That doesn't make a difference. Kyler Murray's going to have a crappy team around him in Arizona.
Yeah, he's a rookie, though.
Oh, he's a rookie, though.
But you know the air raid that Cliff Kingsbury brings. How could you say that is not a possibility again with Kyler Murray at quarterback?
If he goes number one overall, I will boycott the NFL and I'll watch AAF and XFL.
I got to tell you, man. I got to tell you. You knew how confident I was about Baker Mayfield going first.
You are kidding me. We lost by one. Are you kidding me right now?
Did we really?
Yeah. We really did.
What was that score?
84-83.
Oh, we did lose. I got to tell you, though.
Oh, my
I mean,
God. on. This is just I'm upset. I'm super upset. How did we lose? Did we miss our free throws?
I don't know. No, I have no idea. But you
there
know,
it was a turnover.
Listen, I was really confident. I was really confident in Baker Mayfield going number one because, as I said, where there's smoke, there's fire, man.
We're good. Oh,
and you gotta y'all really? What are y'all doing?
You guess.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. We lost. It's in the loss column now. Joe's trying to fathom this Texas loss over here. But Micah, I gotta tell you, you know, I thought Baker Mayfield was going one because of all the rumors, and it was just gotten too much to the point where it seems so true. And I gotta tell you, man, I'm more confident than not that Kyler Murray is gonna go number one, and for that reason, I believe he's the right pick for the Arizona Cardinals above a Dwayne Haskins. He just fits the Kingsbury offense so much better, and I didn't think about that 5 to 6 weeks ago, but when you watch the tape,
I will not live with myself if another freaking Oklahoma Heisman-winning quarterback goes number one again back-to-back years. I will kill myself.
Creighton. Baker Mayfield's a baller, though, man.
Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback suited for the NFL than Kyler Murray is.
Oh, easily.
Well...
I think he's a better quarterback suited for the NFL than
Kyler Murray.
But the thing is, what?
Baker Mayfield's going to win a Super Bowl with the Browns eventually. I'm going to say that right now. He's that good. He wielded that team to 7 wins after that team had, what, 1 win over the last 3 seasons?
I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, look what he's done. Okay. I mean, yeah, he has a better team around him. I'll give him that. He had a better team than RG3 had around him. Or Deshaun Kaiser. But... He's so much more talented than those two players.
Goodbye. He's not better. He's not more talented than RG3. He's not.
Before the injury, RG3 was so good. Okay, I'll give you that. Before the injury, he was definitely better. The injury changed him, so that's why it ruined his career.
Oh, yeah.
But just the player that he is. He has so much talent. He can do so much. He can wield the team to win. He's a leader. He can do it all. He can do it all.
I think Kyler's going one. I'm telling you right here, right now. I think that's the best pick for the Arizona Cardinals.
Kyler Murray is a great college quarterback. But I'm more pissed Texas lost, honestly. I do not see him having the same leadership skills that Baker Mayfield has. I do not.
Nope.
You put him in the same situation that Baker Mayfield is right now.
Nope.
It does not end the same way.
Nope. It does not end the same way. Nope.
That is not a
Kyler Murray's not a leader. He's not a leader. I will throw money on that. I will throw my baby on that.
Right now he's not.
I would love to.
Well, when is he going to develop it? You saw him in the Big 12 championship.
I know.
He got flustered by Todd Orlando's defense. What's he going to do when he's facing Wade Phillips' defense?
I'm just saying. I mean, the kid's going to be able to escape. Is he not? He's going to be able to escape. Stop saying he's not because the kid is faster than most anybody I've ever seen in the NFL.
Right. Okay, Creighton.
Baker Mayfield was able to score, 50 points against Georgia's defense.
And?
I mean, that's what are you talking about? And then he goes in the NFL, and look what he's done.
He's done really good. He should have been rookie of the year.
Yes, he should have been.
So...
You think Kyler had the same effect?
Honestly,
not like that.
Okay, then why is he going number one?
Because he's
going
to be a better fit for the Arizona Cardinals than Dwayne Haskins. Yes, he is.
I'm going to say this right now.
Offensive line, they're going to eat him up. They're going to kill him.
I think
he is going to die.
It's
going to
be like Patrick Mahomes. You can escape the pocket and throw it. He's not going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that.
Look at it this way. If Baker Mayfield can lead that team to the playoffs this year, he's going to have a chance to win the MVP because that's just how good he is. He's such a leader. He can throw the football so well. He's so accurate. He's just a great quarterback. He knows what he's doing in this league. He's built for this league.
Kyler Murray's pretty accurate.
I will forever hate Kyler Murray.
But something that we haven't seen yet is he built for the league?
I can't say that until he gets in.
That's what we need to know. Every player
in the draft, Kaw.
That's what I still think he should have went to baseball. But if he really thinks he's going to get drafted first, let's see what he can do.
I think that's why he chose football, because he's got insider knowledge that they're thinking about picking him number one.
But what if he doesn't?
You don't think what?
I'm
well,
just
then
saying,
they
what
don't.
If he doesn't?
Then they don't. Then he's going to make Jacksonville probably pretty happy. because obviously, I don't think. Here's the thing. I don't think the Giants are going to take him. They've kind of expressed that. But
that's fair.
I seriously think that Cliff Kingsbury, as much as he said, probably not, I do really believe that he is going to pick him number one. Him and Josh Rosen do not mesh at all. There's nothing about those two between Coach Kingsbury's offense and how it works. Nothing matches with that Josh Rosen. Okay? Kyler Murray is basically Patrick Mahomes 2.0 on the scale of air raid. That is exactly the wheelhouse that Coach Kingsbury would want in his organization, and he'd be able to coach
Dwayne
that.
Haskins had 50 passing touchdowns.
Oh, I know. He's a great passer. He ain't as fast as Kyler Murray, though.
52 this year?
What?
And Patrick Mahomes had like 52 this year?
No, Patrick had 50.
Oh, it's 50.
Tied for second.
Okay, it was tied for, okay.
I think,
tied for
first. I think you go Dwayne Haskins. I think he's got the makings of an NFL quarterback right now, which is what Arizona needs right now. They don't need someone to develop. They need someone right now. Jacksonville, with this whole Nick Foles thing,
yeah,
they could develop Kyler Murray underneath him. I'm not saying
that would hurt Kyler Murray's NFL career if he went to Jacksonville.
Oh, well, too bad. I mean, it's not our call to make. But I think Dwayne Haskins is a better fit for Arizona. But personally, go with Nick Bosa. What are you doing?
Okay,
bolster your defense. What are you doing?
Okay, so to lead this segment, I want y'all's takes. Who's going number one? I think it's Kyler Murray.
It's
I seriously
Nick Bosa.
Do.
It's Nick Bosa.
Joe's got Nick Bosa.
Honestly,
who you got?
I'm going to go with Joe on this one.
You're going Nick Bosa?
Yeah.
Okay, time will tell. You stick around, you leaving.
What's next?
Huh?
What's next?
Lakers.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Joe's leaving
the
show.
Let's talk Lakers.
I got to get home. Lakers. It's late. My mom's probably wondering where I am.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem, guys. We're going to do the mega show, of course, folks. And we'll have it on. Can we somehow get two streams? Or we'll have to just have one stream and just share it on everybody's.
You should be able to stream it.
Yeah,
twice.
So like
thing,
two streams.
Two programs open, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be
whatever
cool.
Works, man.
Yeah, man, it's about time he left.
We'll figure out. Wow.
I enjoyed your time, Joe.
You're not fired anymore. You're fired.
Well, let's thank Joe Scanlon for joining the hot seat today. He was on the hot seat nonetheless.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Here instead of out in the softball field.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
3-hour softball game.
Up next, we are going to be diving into the
Definitely
trouble that is
that
spewing
coming.
In the Los Angeles Lakers organization. Is LeBron to blame? Is the other players to blame? Is Magic Johnson to blame? We'll talk about that here on the hot seat. You listen to UTARadio.com.
Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTARadio.com, Radio FX, iHeartRadio, and Facebook Live. I'm Micah Cole, alongside the greatest co-host you could ever have, the Birdman, Creighton Branch.
Man, the greatest, huh?
Yes, sir. The GOAT.
Man.
The greatest of all time.
Really?
Yes.
You mean that?
Yes, sir. I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else.
Oh, man. There's... All right. Well, I would. I'm just kidding.
Wow, that hurts.
I'm just kidding.
I still think you're the greatest co-host anyway.
So if I would have said that, you would have been like, whatever. You would like, I still love you.
Can't change
right?
my mind. Change my mind.
Shut up. Anyways.
Mind.
Anyways, yeah, no. You were second. Joe was first, but Joe couldn't make the show, so... I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No,
okay.
You're good. No, you're good. But, there's trouble spewing in L.A. The Lakers team is not where they want to be right now. Showtime is no time as of this past couple weeks. They have lost two in a row. Granted, they've lost more than that in the past 10 games, I would say. Their record overall, the Los Angeles Lakers we're talking about here, the record is 29-31. However, they are winning to New Orleans right now, only by four, I believe, four. But no, Micah, this is not the way, really, honestly, any of us expected the Lakers to be. Now, we knew there'd be some growing pains. We knew they weren't going to be number one, but we didn't think they'd be fighting almost for a spot, almost out of the playoffs already. We thought they'd at least be like, A lock to be a six, seven, eight seed. Yeah, six or seven.
I don't think
like you wouldn't have to worry about it.
I definitely wasn't thinking it was going to be a fight for an eight seed.
Right. So now you got now they're worried about even making the playoffs, which would be the third time ever that LeBron James hasn't made the playoffs. So my question to you is, what's going on with the Lakers? Is it LeBron James to blame? Is it everybody else? I mean, what is happening? This is not what we thought we'd see from the Lakers. It's trouble in LA.
I'm going to go ahead and go back to a conversation we had a couple weeks ago. Is right before the trade deadline, we were talking about maybe that was an issue, them, you know, having all these thoughts, you know, are they going to get traded? Are they not going to get traded? Are they going to be in L.A.? Are they going to be somewhere else? We thought, you know, we would give it a couple of weeks and then we'll reevaluate. Now we're here. Maybe it is the coaching staff. Maybe that is the issue. Because now I look at this and we're still having the same conversation. And now we go back to that and... I'm starting to think it is the head coach now. I'm starting to agree with that theory. Could it be partially on LeBron? Maybe, because he's throwing hands down at people.
Oh, don't even. Well, I'm about to get it. Thank you for bringing that up.
I mean, but he is throwing hands.
That's not you.
If you're a true athlete, and if you're a true professional, you don't just throw hands at or start pointing fingers at people. That's just not how you do it. That's just going to make chemistry worse and make matters worse than they already are at the moment. You can't afford to do that. And LeBron is part of the problem, I think, and coaching is part. I think there's a lot of different problems evolving here. It's not just coaching. While I do believe that's a decent portion of the problem, it's not just coaching. There's a lot of blame to be put here, and I don't think anybody on any part is handling this the correct way.
I got to tell you, man, this is not what I thought I'd see from these guys. One, the Lakers miss Lonzo Ball. I think that's evident. For as much as y'all don't want to admit, or anybody that doesn't want to admit Lonzo Ball isn't a player, the whole team runs so different when he's in because he's such a dynamic passer. I mean, the whole offense is so fluid. You talk about Showtime, he's the reason, because other than LeBron James, nobody passes the way that Lonzo does. So it's just a whole different dynamic. And I get it. Rondo's a great player. But they run so much different and so much slower, and it's not.
Here's something else that I can point at you, like a little bit. Rajon Rondo, his attitude is very, very interesting one. He hasn't been the most liked player ever. I mean, with the Dallas Mavericks, it wasn't particularly great. We all remember that. Even with the Boston Celtics, there were sometimes some problems.
Yeah, but
with
he was,
LA,
he was
there's problems.
With, them,
with the Sacramento Kings, there was problems.
Played for the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, he did.
He sure did, didn't he? He also played for the Pelicans, but he balled out with the Pelicans.
That's true. He balled out with Anthony Davis.
He did.
That was kind of fun to watch for the short time that lasted.
Oh, yeah, no. They made a run in the playoffs there.
Second round. Yeah. But for them, that was a good run.
And, you know, I got to tell you.
But I'm going to say this right now.
Okay, go for it.
With Rondo's age, I would much rather have Lonzo Ball. Just develop.
And Lonzo Ball just runs offense so much better than I think than Rajon Rondo does. And I gotta tell you, I mean, like I said, this is not what I expected. And honestly, the blame, I'd put 60% of the blame on LeBron and 40% of the blame on Luke Walton. I've already said it. I'm done. I love Luke Walton. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach, but I'm ready to pull the plug on Luke Walton.
Now, I got to pose a question to you. Do you think part of the reason why maybe he's not doing, or the coach, Luke Walton, is not living up to his expectation is partially because of LeBron? Do you think that could be causing part of the, even
like
more of
like
the problem?
Like LeBron's holding him back?
Possibly.
What?
Could he be holding him back from doing what he should be doing?
I mean, no,
maybe he's letting
LeBron
take too much control.
It's LeBron. I mean, no, because you see in Lonzo Ball's not being developed. That's where I look first for Luke Walton.
But that's where I'm saying, like, could LeBron be having a factor in that?
Like LeBron's the coach or something?
Yeah. Could he be factored into that equation as to why Lonzo Ball is not playing?
No, Lonzo Ball's hurt. That's
I completely slipped my mind.
My issue with Luke Walton
is
Zoe is not developed the way he should be already. Okay. Two, I don't understand how when Lance Stephenson goes off in the first half and then the second half of games, he just plays for a couple minutes. Okay. I don't understand when you trade for it is broke. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying, but like if Lance Stephenson's going off, why don't you give him more minutes? Why do you have to change it?
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And second of all, you know, when you trade for players, play them. Okay? The players they
traded for him for a reason.
Who?
Players.
Yeah. But the players they traded for, they're not before the deadline, you know, they're not trading. I mean, they're not playing these guys. Luke Walton's not playing him. So I'm like, okay, now I got to question your coaching ability, honestly, because you're not doing what I think. It's so frustrating. And now let me get to LeBron. First, yes, Luke Walton, I think, has to go. I think the team is being held back by Luke Walton. I love him to death, but obviously it's clear it's his first job. This should not be the job he has to coach, okay? He shouldn't have to coach.
That's a tough first job.
It is.
Man,
he shouldn't have to coach a Lakers team now that has LeBron. All eyes are on this team. this would have been okay. He would have been okay if LeBron wasn't on this team. This would be an okay first like head coaching job for him. But LeBron's
having to deal
on
with
team.
LeBron is a so, lot. It's a lot.
I think Luke Walton would do great in Phoenix. I really do. With DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and those guys, I think he'd do wonders. So I would like to see him there. But Luke Walton's got to go. Number two, LeBron James. About 6% of the credit. As you said, I'm glad you brought it up. This dude, can you even call him a leader anymore? Nope. I mean, what can you call him? Because he's the biggest finger pointer I've ever seen in the history of sports. He is always blaming everybody else. Always.
Blame yourself occasionally. Keep yourself accountable. If you're going to point hands at people, you got to keep yourself accountable,
and
too.
And I tell you what,
you can't do that.
I cannot stand the cryptic comments or anything. That bothers me so much. I mean, it is so bothersome. I'm just like, what? I mean, you are so-called the chosen one, okay? You are arguably...
If anyone's the chosen one, I think it would be more Kobe Bryant than LeBron at this point.
You'd be top one, okay. I mean, the thing, yeah, I see what you're saying. But, you know, he is deemed the chosen one. He's got tattooed, okay? And so, did you know that?
I did not
know
that.
Yeah, he's got, because you know he came out of high school as the chosen one. That was the whole narrative. And, you roll your eyes. You remember any of that?
No.
Well, you were young.
I was like,
you're
five,
younger than I was. But you know the history behind it. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was the chosen one. He's got it tattooed on himself. So he's he is the self-proclaimed chosen one. And obviously, most people have him. Some have him number one. Some have him number two. I think most people have him at least top four.
Yeah,
or top five. I bet I can find some people that have a top five.
For me, it's top three.
Okay, see, I'd
he's
probably
still
put
a great
him,
player.
Yeah.
No less.
You're this great of a player in the history of the game of basketball, and you're pointing fingers? You're at kids?
You don't see Anthony Davis doing that.
Well,
giving an example. Even Russell Westbrook, you don't see him doing that.
But
Durant doing that.
I think those guys are on another tier other than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's better than LeBron James at this point.
I totally agree.
Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis are on another tier of leadership. A whole other tier. Maybe not Russell Westbrook compared to that
Paul
team.
Or Paul George, maybe. Or James Harden. You don't see them pointing hands.
No, and they don't. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're on another tier of leadership, so I wouldn't criticize them as much as this man.
Yeah.
This is. This dude is going to be. One guy, like when we talk about Michael Jordan, he's going to be right there, like underneath him, obviously, but he's going to be one of the names we bring up, okay? And
he'll be one of those marquee names that we'll remember.
And he's just blaming everybody else all the time, especially over the past 10, 16,
I guess a
20
better
games.
Example to go with.
And he's not playing defense, Michael, which is so frustrating. He's not trying. Did you see the video the other day against Memphis when he's sitting there in the paint and whoever it was, I can't remember. You were shooting the three-pointer and Brandon Ingram is covering his man and instead the dude pops out, makes the three-pointer, and LeBron looks at Brandon like, "What are you doing? That's your guy. That's your guy, LeBron. And you're yelling at somebody else. He doesn't play defense anymore," which is why I think is one of the reasons Kevin Durant surpassed him as the best player in the world. But why does he get to point these fingers and he doesn't even try half the time or all the time on the other side of the court? I mean, he plays 40 minutes a night, but really, does he play 40 minutes?
No.
No, because he doesn't play defense. It's his fault. Most of it is. He's not trying.
That's
what's so bothersome.
And there's another, I guess I would have a better example as far, you didn't see Michael Jordan pointing hands or fingers, did you?
Not really. I mean, not his teammates.
No. He wouldn't do that. Or in more of our generation, sir, you don't even see Tom Brady pointing fingers.
Well, Tom Brady's cut from a different cloth than LeBron James. LeBron James is not in this class.
But, Tom Brady has had to deal with so many different kinds of players, and he's still not pointing fingers at anybody whenever things are going wrong. He just finds a way to make it go right again. That's what you got to do if you're a guy like LeBron James. You just got to find a way, you know, hey, let's clean this up. Don't point fingers. Don't throw them under the bus to the media. Go out there, try to do something different. Don't just sit around and start pointing fingers and expect it to change, because it won't change that way.
Let me read you some quotes from what he said the other day. After one of the losses, this is the Memphis loss. This is the game I was talking about. just come and do your job. The last few years, everyone's so accustomed to the losses that I'm just not accustomed to. I'm not accustomed to it. I would never get comfortable with losing. He's just pointing fingers, man. Who wants to play for that? No wonder. Here's my thing. No wonder nobody wants to come to the Lakers. Who wants to deal with this?
Honestly, and now I can see why, for even more so now, why Kyrie Irving wanted out. I can see that now.
Well, Kyrie Irving them made up, but I see what you're saying. Yeah,
I understand that.
It's still the fact that he left because of that.
But I'm sure that this is stuff like this is a good reason why he left to begin with. I can see why he'd be frustrated with that.
At this point,
who wants to deal with that?
There's another quote. At this point, if you're still allowing distractions to affect the way you play, this is the wrong franchise to be a part of, and you should just come in and be like, listen, I can't do this. Seriously, if you're distracted by playoff pushes. That's what he said.
Okay. First off, this is a very young team. There's a lot of young kids that are trying to develop and learn this game.
He knew he was getting himself into.
And he knew he was getting into it. So this is on him now. Because he should have known, this is what I'm getting into. This is what's going to happen. This could happen. We could be at this point. Look, you got a lot of young kids that are trying to learn this game of the NBA. And they're all great, very talented players, and you can see that here in Spurs. But they're not just immediately going to come up and just be these legendary players.
No.
You ain't going to have a Shaq just already there. That's not what's going to happen.
You're not.
You're just going to have another Kobe.
And Brandon Ingram takes time
to get there.
Listen, Brandon Ingram has been playing lights out. 32 one night, 29 one night. He's playing so good. And, I mean, these players are trying to find their way, but... I blame Luke Walton about 40% because I think that's what he deserves. But man, LeBron,
you're not helping the case.
You're not helping at all.
You're making it worse than it already is. And honestly, if LeBron would just take a step back and say and think about what he's saying and what he's doing, thinking about his actions a little more thoroughly.
He knows what he's doing, and he makes the comments. That's why they're like they are.
Well, he knows
exactly what he's doing.
If he would think a little more logically, then I think this team would have been in a better position right now. If he thought a little more logically.
I mean,
this team certainly wouldn't be out of the playoffs because there's too much talent on it. We both thought they would probably be a 5 or 6 seed at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Now it's like, now we're questioning if they're even going to make the playoffs.
Well, they're almost not going to make it.
I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the West. There's Portland, Denver, Golden State, obviously, Oklahoma City. You got the people down in the, even at 5, 6, 7, all of those guys are good.
But right.
We would certainly think that the Lakers would be in that mix, though, with the amount of talent that they got on that team.
Absolutely. I mean,
it's just really surprising to me.
It's so frustrating. That's just all it is. And we got to go because we got to get out of this segment because we got one last segment here. But
one more thought. Could that be why Anthony Davis was not traded? Could he have said something under the wire and said, "Hey, I don't want to really play with this guy"? Is that even possible?
No. That's because the Pelicans, because that was a whole situation where Dell Demps was told not to trade because he was going to lose his job. Then he ended up losing his job anyways, which is so wrong in my eyes. And
are you going to tell someone they're going to lose their job for doing something
there was a lot of logistics there that were getting thrown around. And that's why Anthony Davis didn't go, because they didn't want those players where they wanted the kitchen sink, and Los Angeles really wasn't going to give it to them. And so that's why that wasn't that. Now, I still think AD wants to be there, but I totally understand why other people don't want to go there. You got any last points?
Well, I think that's it.
Do they make the playoffs? Awkward. My last point, do they make the playoffs?
No. I don't see that happening.
It's going
right
to be tough, man.
I need to see some kind of... If they're going to make the playoffs, LeBron's going to have to figure it out. He cannot continue to point fingers. If he keeps doing that, they're going to be out of the playoffs. They're going to be a lottery team. That's just the way it's going to go. And you know what? I'm going to say this. They miss the playoffs, and LeBron keeps up this attitude, he's going to be gone at the end of this year. He's going to be gone from the Lakers.
He just signed a 4-year deal.
Correct. They can cut him.
They're going to cut LeBron. They're not going to
cut
LeBron.
Or trade him.
They're not going to trade LeBron James, no matter what happens.
I don't see him being here if he keeps this up.
Fine, I will hold you to that. That's the first time I've ever heard that. If Magic Johnson has it in him to trade LeBron James, man, that's something. But they're not going to trade. He's a great. He's still good.
Yes, I know he's still good, but can you really afford to have an attitude like this with these kind of young players? He knew what he was getting.
You're going to trade one of the top four players in the history of basketball?
I'm just saying, is it really going to continue to help your cause if he keeps pointing at your own players? Is that really going to help you? You're not going to get any better if you keep doing that.
All right, you're here first. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to are possibly going to cut LeBron James right from Michael Cole's mouth. I think it's going to be very tough for the Lakers to make the playoffs. I'm still going to hold on to it because I picked them to be in the playoffs. I'm not going to give up on that, but it's going to be very hard.
I think that they still could, but it's going to take a lot, and it's going to take a lot of bold decision making here down the stretch.
Right up next,
and some serious step up on the coaching job too.
Exactly. So, up next. Step it up. We have the Robert Kraft scandal.
No.
We're going to get into that a little bit here as our last segment on the hot seat, late night with the hot seat. And then we're going to get into some pick-ems to close up the show because I know it's getting late. However, I would like everyone to know that we did not quaver on this show. We still did it after 3 hours of softball.
Even Joe joined us.
Absolutely. But we will get into that here. And up next, you'll listen to the hot seat here on UTARadio.com. Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTRadio.com, iHeartRadio, Radio FX, and as always, streaming live on Facebook Live. Check out Michael Cole for that live stream. My name is Creighton Branch. The man next to me, Micah Ka. Cole, we thank everyone for sticking with us. It is the late night hot seat edition. Not quite sure how many times. This is the only time it's going to happen. How many more Wednesday softball games do they got?
There's a couple more, but
I think the other ones are
not
five.
Gonna be another 3 hours.
Yeah, you're right. So,
probably
so there probably won't be another one.
And I think the other ones are 5 p.m.
So this is a very, very exclusive edition. So be happy you're listening into this. This will never happen again. Very rare edition of the hot seat.
Maybe we'll make up for those 30 minutes next week. We'll see.
Oh, absolutely. We can do whatever we want. The late night show, right?
Yeah.
That's right. We're the hot
seat.
It
pays to be the last show of the day.
Absolutely.
You got nobody else in the way to stop you from continuing if you want to go on. So it's kind of nice, right, Grayton?
Right. So getting into this last segment here, we're going to go about this for another probably about 15 minutes or so, and then we're going to do some pick-ems, Micah.
Yes, sir.
Story broke a few days ago. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, after I believe which was many, many months of investigation, was charged with soliciting prostitution in Jupiter, Florida.
During the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, one of the incidents was before the AFC Championship game. This is embarrassing for Robert Kraft, but just such a story, and who knows how deep it goes, because Adam Schefter reported that Robert Kraft's not the biggest name in the sting. So I just want to get I know you read it and you read about it. I want to know what your thoughts were on this thing.
Well, I know for sure that this is very embarrassing to the Patriots franchise and the NFL picture that's already glooming a little bit because of the incidences of a couple years ago. It started to get a little bit better in my humble opinion, but now just to have something like this fall back again, like, man, it does not look good. Like, for the NFL image in general, especially since a lot of kids watch this league, that's just not a good image for these people that are watching this league. So, and I'm pretty sure it is true at this point, because, I mean, there's evidence
there. Yeah, they got video.
There's already evidence out there. So, I mean,
that's why he was charged. I mean, so, they have video.
It's out there. This is very real, man. You got to be careful what you do. And Robert Kraft is paying for it now.
So my next question to you before I get into it is, where does this put the Patriots? I mean, he's probably not going to lose the Patriots, but where does this put them?
Puts them in a very shaky ground at this point. I don't know what they're going to make. I don't see them going as far as making him sell it, at least based on what we know right now. But, you know, let's say more stuff comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe you get to a point where you might have to.
I mean, that's it might. You're not wrong. I mean,
it's not unheard of. It's very much possible that it could. Didn't the Clippers have to sell their franchise because of stuff that happened?
No, they kicked the owner, whose mind escapes me. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, for racist comments, I believe.
Oh,
is what it was.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was on a phone call, and he was forced to sell it,
or did he get kicked out?
Well, he had to sell because he got that, and he got banned from the NBA for life.
That sucks, but I mean,
Donald Sterling did it to himself. Is it Donald Sterling? Yes, it is Donald Sterling. That was the man.
Yes, correct. It was Donald Sterling.
And
by the way, the new owner is actually all right.
Steve Ballmer.
He's a good owner. Yeah, he's a good owner.
He's one of the top notches CEO.
He knows what
Microsoft.
He's doing. Wish we had him for the Cowboys, but. Yeah, unfortunate reality, but
where does this put the Patriots?
As far as the Patriots concerned, it's a similar situation to what that was. I mean, potentially it could turn into something like that if more stuff starts to leak and, you know, it starts to make it look worse. You know, we may be talking about that here, potentially. But as of right now, what we know, I don't think we're there yet.
Like, there yet, as in
as far as him having to be forced to sell his franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we're there yet.
You're right, as in a sense of we're not there yet. And I'm not quite sure he'll have to sell the franchise based on the charges and everything.
No.
Because it is a maximum of 1 year of jail. and then obviously if he gets probation, which he probably will get probation instead of jail, and then maximum community hours of 100. And so, I mean, unless the NFL, but here's the thing. We know the NFL. And Dan, this is my take. Take away the embarrassment for Robert Kraft is
very much real.
Oh, that's basically bad enough for Robert Kraft. Now he's in a lot of other issues, but the embarrassment itself is really bad for Robert Kraft. Here is what the NFL says. About this is what gets me all in a bind is this is what their statement says about Robert Kraft's situation. It says our personal conduct policy applies equally to everyone in the NFL. We will handle this allegation in the same way we would handle any issue under the policy. We are seeking a full understanding of the facts while ensuring that we do not interfere with an ongoing law enforcement investigation. We will take appropriate action as warranted based on the facts. I'm dumbfounded because they don't do that for the players.
No, they sure don't.
They don't. What is the rule about the players? It does not matter what the court says or what the
because if it was based on what the allegations say or what the facts say
or law enforcement, we
okay,
go.
I'll let you finish real quick.
It doesn't matter about that with the players. What it matters with the players is like if Roger Goodell thinks you did it, that's all that matters. I'm not quite sure. On one instance, why it's different for the owners. That's what I'm trying to figure out, Micah.
Basically, what that told me was you're giving the same treatment to the owners as you give to the players. No, you're not, based on what you're...
That comment is like that. It says that for the owners, but we know that that is not the same thing that applies for the players.
But basically, you said... Okay, let me rephrase it. You basically said you're going to give the same treatment,
but then you literally
go on to say that you're going to go based on the law enforcement, what the law enforcement says. You don't do that for the players.
They don't do that for the players.
Because if you did, I highly doubt Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended.
Because law enforcement discarded the case twice in two different states.
Correct.
Two different counties. But Roger Goodell kept it going and suspended Zeke for 6 games. That's what I'm saying. And it's not just him. It's anybody else. No matter how small the charge. There's a lot of charges and a lot of instances where the suspensions were right, but there's also a lot of small pesky charges where it's really honestly been Roger Goodell,
just being Roger Goodell.
Yeah, and so I think
he has too much power. I think he has way too much power.
Yeah, no, and I mean,
I think
absolutely.
He abuses it.
But that's what I'm saying. I guarantee you the players are thinking, why don't we get this? That's my take on this whole situation. Why don't we get this?
You want another example? Tom Brady.
What do you mean?
The Deflategate was all.
Oh, exactly.
That was
however,
a bunch of crap.
However, Tom Brady ended up, you know, that was kind of an.
But then he got his revenge by winning the Super Bowl.
That was weird because Tom Brady would win in one court, and then Roger Goodell would continue making it in another court, and then another court. Eventually, Tom Brady's like, you know what? I'm just going to take my four games. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm just going to beat, you know, I'm going to prove it, prove you wrong and just win the Super Bowl. Then you're going to hand me the trophy. That's basically what he said. But this is what I'm saying. It's like, God, I mean, like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, is there any situation where the NFL has been able to handle it right in the past couple of years?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Even this, they come out and say this, that we are seeking full understanding of the facts while ensuring we do not interfere with ongoing law enforcement investigation. That is clearly not the case for the player side. So they keep, I just am so dumbfounded, Micah, why Roger Goodell and the NFL continuously try to shoot themselves in the foot every time this instance occurs. If they just stay consistent like the NBA, and this is why they're so good at it, Adam Silver, is because they stay consistent and they don't go on, you know, this is that and this is the rule and this is how it's going to be, and they are strict, and that's what it is. And that's why everybody respects them. But it is a continuous change on this side of the ball for the NFL, and I'm just like, how on earth do you continue to do this? It is so weird.
How do they even allow it to continue?
What do you mean?
Like, this kind of nonsense.
Roger Goodell can do anything he wants. Like, is the issue.
I can't wait for the new CBA deal because maybe they can fix
it. Well,
some of this.
To be honest with you, Micah, this is the reason it's at because the players. Because
of the CBA!
Because the players were too antsy and they signed over this deal. They signed over this stuff. So it's honestly partially their fault. I mean, so they've got to do better. But
they got to pay more attention to what's going on. Well, and now it's going to be hard to change it.
They just wanted the money to get the deal done. But now you basically listen, the last CBA did not say that Roger Goodell was the judge, jury, and executioner. This one does because the players wanted to get their money fast and get it over with. That's the issue we're running into. However, Robert Goodell has taken that and completely hijacked it and has made it a case-by-case thing for the same cases, is what I'm saying. And he doesn't do it for the owners. It's unbelievable. Everybody in the NFL should be treated the same way with the same penalties. And you can't come out and say this when everybody clearly knows you're not treating the owners and the players the same way when it comes to punishment. Correct. So I'm just like,
and
so
literally
confused.
There's evidence out there to prove that he's done it.
But yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'm just confused.
There was so much gray area. Oh my gosh, how did you come to the conclusion that he got a 6-game suspension? I really don't know.
What?
Unless if Roger Goodell is some secret source that we absolutely don't know about.
Well, they dismissed the case.
Exactly.
But I'm saying that...
So that's why it makes no sense why he got the 6-game suspension.
Well, the CBA, yeah, I know, but the CBA says Roger Goodell can make the suspensions not even based on the law enforcement.
I know, but if it's based... It's not. If you want to treat everybody equally, how did he get a suspension?
Because it's not treated equally. That's what I'm saying, is that's
exactly
the strangest thing.
That's the point.
That's what, yeah, exactly.
That's the point
we're
trying to make.
Right here.
Okay, good.
That's
we're
what I'm saying.
Okay.
No, yeah, that's what...
As long as we're on the same page.
No, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, Roger Goodell, when it comes to Zeke's case, you know, he says, hey, even though if you were proven wrong, you're innocent or guilty or whatever, it's up to me. Though, Robert Kraft does this.
Oh, you're totally NFL, innocent, but you're getting a 6-game suspension anyway.
Well, I'm not saying, what I'm saying is, I don't want to say that.
But you're getting a 4-game
suspension. I don't
want
to say that. I want to say that Roger Goodell says that, hey, no matter if you're innocent or guilty, it stops with me. I decide what you get. No matter what the law enforcement says. Like, I know the law enforcement says you're guilty, but I can decide if you get a 6-game suspension, an 8-game suspension. I'm not going to base it off of this, off the law enforcement. However, when it comes to Robert Kraft's situation, they clearly state that they're going to do it with the full allegation and full understanding of law enforcement and cooperation. Why don't the players get that? I'm just confused. That's my point in this whole situation.
You gotta be equal,
it's
man.
A bad look for Robert Kraft, obviously.
And it's a bad look for the NFL, too, the way that they're handling this.
Is the NFL could not catch a break, man. Absolutely
fact,
not.
Just the fact that they can't be consistent is bad enough.
Oh,
that,
I know.
That's bad enough.
That's Roger Goodell's fault, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's absolutely Roger Goodell's fault. Last point before we get to Pick'ems.
Let's just go to Pick'ems. We're going to be on this all night if we don't stop now.
Well, we are going to start and stop with UTA tonight.
Hey, real quick, look, you want to analyze that softball game a little bit? Because that was pretty interesting tonight.
What were your thoughts? The UTA hit a grand slam in the eighth inning to win that game. I believe 13-10, correct? Yes.
Yes.
13-10. It was a three-hour softball game.
There's a particular player I want to turn to for that game.
Okay.
Brittany Wiley kept them in this game multiple times. I think it was the fifth inning that she hit that two-run homer to put them up 7-5. And then in the ninth inning, she hit that. I think she got the game-tying hit.
Yes.
To put it at 9-9. So, really, without her, you don't go to extras at all.
No.
So, she was a very big part of that game. And then
right with the grand slam.
Yeah. And they. And just competitive spirit.
Softball,
I mean, they could have
really
they
good.
Could have sat down and quit the number of times that they came back and fought back. It was 4-0. UNT came back, went up 5-4. We went up 7-5. They came back, went up 8-7, then or 9-7. Then we came back, and then they went up in the 10th, and then we came back and won on a walk off grand slam. There's just a number of times where they could have put their head down and just said, "Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do?"
Absolutely.
But instead, they decided to go out there and continue to fight. That's what I love about these softball girls. They just go out there and fight. They even against the number one team in the nation, like at UCLA, they go out there and fight anyway. And they lose by one run. They had their chance. They even had a shot to win. You got to love these girls.
They're
competitors.
It was a great game, Micah. Got to call it. It was a lot of fun.
We would have thought it would have turned into a three-hour affair.
But... getting into the most important games this week for UTA's athletics.
For both sides, too.
Both sides. We're going to start here.
Big implications for
these two
games.
We're going to start with the women's, actually, as they go on the road.
Correct.
I believe they...
No, the women's are here. The women's are here.
Thank you for correcting me. As they are going to stay...
Those are two big games, nonetheless.
Say what?
Two very, very big games.
Yeah, as they first play South Alabama here... on Thursday, that's 7 o'clock game tomorrow. Anybody that's listening,
I'll
still
be there
on the late
tomorrow
night.
Night.
You will be. You'll be covering it.
I will
it.
Be covering it for UTA News.
Mike
I'll be
will
doing
be
my packets for that.
And then then on Saturday, we got Troy. Two massive games as UTA can lock up a spot here. Yeah, absolutely.
Troy's actually a really big matchup because they're in third right now, and they're actually having a decent season this year.
So I want to start with South Alabama, Micah. Who you got in that game?
As long as we go in there and don't overlook, I mean, we should be fine. We should be able to get in there, take care of business. We have some great shooters. Literally, there's 12, 13 different people that could shoot the basketball on this team. Like, if one person's off having an off night, there's another person having an on night. So it's really hard to see this team losing, especially at home. They're another team, especially at home. I'm going to take them at home.
I'm taking this team by leaps and bounds.
I think they'll win by 10.
Here's the difference.
Give me a 10-point win.
Here's the difference between, and I'm hard on the guys because I know that they can bring it if they want to. And they can play
we've
grit.
Seen it.
I'm
going to
be hard on the guys, but this is the difference between the girls and the guys this year. Is because the girls, these girls want it, okay?
They really want it.
And I am not the least bit worried that
too.
They're not going to play as hard as they possibly can on Thursday South Alabama. We'll stick with the conference tournament later.
Yeah.
To beat South Alabama. I'm picking UTA by at least 10 points to win this game.
That's a reasonable number.
Up next, Troy on Saturday, as you said, is a big game.
Different case compared to South Alabama.
As playoff seeding implications are on the line, who do you got in that game?
This is a very big game. This could decide maybe between, you know, two or three or one or two potentially depending on how Little Rock continues to do. UTA really needs to win this game because now that you kind of suffered a couple of losses to Little Rock, this is a big time for them. They need to win this game in order to keep themselves afloat. I mean, to make sure that they lock up one of those two seeds. If you win this game, you're going to be a top two seed at this point because you'll have the tiebreak with Troy. I believe they're up a game and a half as it is. I'm going to take UTA winning this by, let's say, 5-6 points. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a grinded out game, but I think UTA has more than enough pieces to put it together. As we have mentioned several times before, they have a huge advantage. They have such a full bench that they could probably play as a starter. They play everybody. Well, that's such a huge advantage because that means you can give rest and know that who you're putting out there is going to go out there and compete butts off and they want to win who's on the floor.
I agree with you. I'm taking UTA in a grit, grinded out kind of game.
And just to clarify, if they do beat Troy, they do clinch a top two seed, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Assuming that South Alabama goes as we think
they'll be motivated then. I agree with you. I think that UTA is going to have to battle this one out, but they're going to find a way to win. Shooting is going to be key for these for these players down the stretch, for this team win down the stretch. They're gonna outshoot Troy, and they'll probably win this game. I think it's gonna be close to Micah. I think it's gonna be a 4-point game. I really do. I think it's gonna be close.
We're both on the same page for both of these games, I think.
Now
the guys, who knows?
On the other side, the men's basketball of University of Texas at Arlington, they lost, I believe, 3 in a row. They did.
But then they won in double overtime.
They were tied for first, lost 3 in a row, ended up winning in double overtime against UL Monroe. They go on the road, first to Mobile, Alabama, to play South Alabama. Who wins that game, Micah? UT is not a lock for a top 4 seed.
No, they are not a lock, but they're, because of the win on Saturday that they were very fortunate to get based on the positioning that they were in early in the second half. They were up by 15, and I want to talk about that game a little bit because they had that game locked up, and I don't know if you got to see the game because I know you were calling some softball that same time. So, but Brian Warren saved that team in that game. He had 34 points in that game. He was going off. He bailed that team out. They were up by 15 early in the second half, and man, you gotta close out games.
Oh, yeah.
If you can't do that, you're not gonna win in the Sun Belt tournament because the pressure is gonna get to you if you can't sit there and close out a game. I know that they're capable of doing it because they did it during that stretch of 8 games where they won 7 out of 8 and they beat Georgia Southern, Texas State, and they also beat a decent Coastal Carolina team as well. And
absolutely.
Like, why can't you just stick to the game plan? Why do you have to? Because literally the moment that you got in first place, that's where things started to tick downward.
Well, they got head over heels. I mean, they got big headed. That's the thing about this team and teams in the past is because they it's because.
And honestly, I'm gonna go on a limb. They're not good enough to do that.
No,
they're
not good enough. They have a losing record.
Correct, and that's why I'm saying that's why I was confuzzled whenever confuzzled a combination of confused and puzzled.
Continue.
But I was just confused when coach gave us the big picture thing because it's like I get it, but
you don't have the right. You don't have the right. Say it.
You don't have the right to say that because you don't have any conference championships at all to show for that since 2008. And that was back when we were in the Southland.
You got one regular season conference to show for. You don't got anything. So moving on, who wins this game in South Alabama?
I really hope they learned their lesson on Saturday because if they didn't, this season's going to be over in a heartbeat. They'll be out in the first round that they play in the Sun Belt tournament.
You take it.
I'm going to go ahead and take UTA in this one.
By what?
But I'll take them by 4. It's gonna be tough. But if they can't win this game, it's gonna be tough the rest of the way.
We're close on that one. I'm picking UTA by 5 in this first one. This will not be an easy win.
I hope that they understand that right now because if they don't, they're gonna overlook them and they're just gonna get drilled.
Absolutely,
they're gonna get drilled. And I've seen it happen before.
They better even find last year, a way.
Last year, they were such a superior team, and then they went in somewhere like South Alabama, for example, and then they get drilled because they overlooked them. You can't do that. You have to respect the game. Like, it's kind of like golf. You got to respect the game. You got to square up. And trust me, I made that mistake. You saw me do it, and you saw Joe do it. Even you did it yourself. We all did it. But you got to respect the sport. You cannot sit there and just overlook a team. Or not square up in golf. It's the same thing for any sport. You got to respect the game.
So moving on to Troy, last part of the segment, last part of the show. Who wins this game to finish out show?
Troy, I mean, that'll be a tough one too. Because, I mean, we struggle a little bit on the road, and let's not lie. But I think that they'll win these two games. I think that my real hope is that they learn their lesson. If they have, I think they'll win both of these games.
Beat Troy by how much?
I'll give them 6 points. 5 or 6 points.
They're going to lose one of these games. They are, I think. I hope they show me wrong, but I think they're going to lose one of these games, and I think they're going to lose.
I think
Troy is going to be the game they drop. I'm picking Troy to win this game, unfortunately, and it's going to be by 3.
The thing that I think we'll learn a lot if tomorrow night, I think we'll learn a lot about did they learn anything from overlooking teams. If they did, I think they'll win both of these games very cleanly. They'll play great. They'll go out and respect the game. But my question is, have they? Based on that ULM game, no. I do not think that they have. because they had the 15-point lead in the second half, and they got lucky that Brian Warren bailed them out because he went out there and balled, man. He balled that entire game. Yeah, he respected. But he was the only player on the floor.
Don't act like he's been the saving grace the whole year.
No, he hasn't been the saving grace all year. But in that game, he still bailed them out.
He's lost games for this team.
That is correct. He has lost quite a few games for this team.
Yeah.
Especially in non-conference play.
Yeah.
But he bailed us out that day.
You're right. I'm picking Troy to win this game. I think this is the one they drop, and then we're really going to be it's going to be come down to the last game against Texas State. We'll talk about that next week.
And right now, we're not going to talk about Texas, that game specifically yet. But if we can come out with both of these games, I think we got a good shot still at maybe the 3 seed. At the 3 seed.
I don't like to look ahead like that.
If we can win out, if we can win out, we get the 3 seed at least, because Georgia State or Georgia Southern is going to lose. One of them will lose, and that'll give us a shot for that 3 seed. Maybe 2 if a lot goes right, but I'm not going to go ahead and jump on that wagon yet. We'll see how this weekend goes first before we even start to jump to that conclusion.
You have the girls winning both. I have the girls winning both. You have the guys winning against South Alabama and Troy. I have the guys winning against South Alabama but losing to Troy. One thing is for sure, though, that
Texas State's going to have big implications top 4 seed.
And this men's team will have an uphill battle to climb, but we will talk about that next week as we are out of time here. We thank everybody for staying up late. This was the special edition of the Hot Seat, Late Night with the Hot Seat. We'll be back normal time next week, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We really honestly thank you all for tuning in. We almost went 2 hours, but we got to get out of here. It's getting late. And we know you guys are tired too. But as always, my name is Creighton Branch. The man next to me with all the hot sports opinions is Micah Cole. This is the Hot Seat on UTRadio.com. We'll be back next week, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We'll see you then.